Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:23 Greenwich Mean Time. Today is March 15th. Today we saw an additional pause following what had been a really very impressive week so far. If we start off with what happened today in Asia, the A-share market, which pulled back very sharply yesterday from the region of the 200-day moving average, followed through a little bit here in today's session. It really does now need a clear upward dynamic to suggest that demand is returning to dominance. We have had a larger rally. The valuations are really quite reasonable, but we do need evidence that demand is returning in this environment. If you look at it on a commonality basis globally, then there's reason to suspect that the Chinese market is not going to be the only one in the world that isn't pushing higher. The Japanese market pushed on today by another 72 points. It's paused in the region of 10,000 for the last week, but it has continued to hold an upward bias. The yen was a little bit stronger in here today. It's up to 83.50. It's really rallied remarkably persistently over the last couple of weeks. Upwards of a month at this stage, from 76 up to 83.5. There's every reason to expect that it is going to go higher. The Japanese have adopted an inflation target. JGBs followed through a little bit in here today, but they are off their lows. We saw that US Treasuries, following a very large decline yesterday, were relatively unchanged today. They were as low as 135.18. They finished out the day at 136.17, so about a point off the low of the day. I wasn't particularly happy with my entry point yesterday. I think that there is the risk we're going to get some volatility. We're in the region of the 200-day moving average, and we're back to the lows that were posted in the third or fourth quarter of last year. So I think there's probably going to be some additional volatility here. I'm hoping to get a better entry point for shorting treasuries, but I do believe that there is more likely than not we've seen a medium-term peak here. If we look at what stock markets have been doing more generally, in the rest of Asia, the majority of markets were relatively unchanged, but pretty much all in mildly positive territory. It's a pretty similar story in Europe. The majority were in positive territory, but by less than about 1%. The DAX was probably the best performer. It was up 0.9%. The FTSE 100 was down very slightly on the day. The Brazilian market was down about 0.75%, but it's also had a very, very good rally in the last couple of days. And a little bit of a pause following such a push to the upside isn't to be unexpected. When we look at what's happening in the US markets, the S&P 500 was up by 8 today. It's back above 1,400 now. The Dow Jones was up less than 0.5%. It's back above 13,000. The Nasdaq Composite is above 3,000. The Nasdaq 100 is back up to 2,700. The banking sector in the USA is really quite firm. It's been outperforming the S&P 500 for the last 6 months. That, I think, is a fact that has probably escaped the attention of the market. We're seeing that the S&P 500 bank sector is now pushing up to test the upper side of its three-year base. The KRX Regional Banks Index, which is, I think, probably a better reflection of the health of the US economy, it's got one bank from each of the states as a constituent. It's performed even better than the S&P 500 banks. There are a number of banks and financials, diversified financials, that are doing very well in relative but also in absolute terms. I've posted a number of them in Comment of the Day today. We often say that banks are leaders. Now, they were unlikely to have been the leader in this particular cyclical bull market, or indeed the three-year bull market that's been in progress since early 2009 on Wall Street. The reason for that is because they were the epicenter of the problem in the last bull market, so they're unlikely to lead in the next one. But banks should do reasonably well in an environment where liquidity is abundant. And my golly, liquidity is abundant. We have central banks really engaging in record largesse. So we're now starting to see the possible recovery of the banking sector. And that's really quite positive. Banks should do well in a highly liquid environment because they're liquidity providers. So this is a positive development. It adds an extra prong to the argument that we're in a cyclical bull market. Another important development that we're seeing in the US market is that shares that are leveraged to the growth of the global consumer, that are leveraged to the growth of the middle class, that are globally present, that dominate their respective niches, are continuing to attract a premium. About 4 or 5 months ago, I posted a list of biotechnology firms that were beginning to break out of their bases. Now, they represent the cutting edge of the healthcare sector. What we're starting to see now is that some of the more established companies with stronger cash flows and very competitive yields are breaking out of 2 and 3 year bases. Eli Lilly is a prime example. It broke out in December. It pulled back, found support in the region of the upper side of the base, and has this week rallied from the region of the 200-day moving average. This is base formation completion. It's what we look for when we're looking for long-term potential. And the fact that you have commonality, that so many other healthcare shares are doing exactly the same thing, that they offer attractive yields, that they're breaking out of bases, is a very positive development indeed. So we're seeing not only that the banking sector is leading the market higher, but that mega cap shares are now also moving out of lengthy periods of consolidation. So this is really, really very, a very positive development indeed. Now that doesn't negate the fact that some of the leading shares remain really quite overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages. They're susceptible to a pullback and consolidation. Now they are what I refer to as temporal leaders. They broke upwards first. So they're timing leaders. They are likely to also pull back first, and they'll be the first to push on to new high ground once they've consolidated. They tend to lead the market higher. They're relative performers more often than not. But provided they retain their temporal leadership, then that's also good news for the consistency of the cyclical bull market. Leaders tend to lead for a reason. When they begin to lag the market and lag persistently, that's generally an indication that something has changed to the supply-demand dynamics that have motivated the market for a persistent period of time. There's no indication that that's the case right now, but we couldn't be particularly surprised if shares that are 10, 20, or 30% overextended relative to their MAs and have been rallying for upwards of 12 consecutive weeks, that they are susceptible to a pullback and consolidation. So there is the potential that we're going to see some rotation going on in some of these markets. If we look at the commodity complex, wheat was stronger by 21 cents today, corn by 10, soybeans for 18. Soybeans have been leading the way higher. Corn is breaking out of its range in here today. The soft commodity complex is a bit mixed. Sugar also had a very good day today. We have an upward dynamic. It's pressuring the upper side of its little base in here. Gold was relatively unchanged. Oil was also relatively unchanged on West Texas Intermediate. Silver was up a little bit in here today, up about 30 cents. Gold needs to do a lot more than it's done. It needs a clear upward dynamic sustained for more than a couple of days to really suggest that demand is returning to dominance in here. Elsewhere in the soft commodity sector, coffee continues to deteriorate. That's Arabica coffee. Robusta coffee is firming within its range, whereas the grains and beans traded in Chicago are doing quite well. Rough rice is deteriorating within its range. So what we're seeing is that there's been a breakdown in commonality across the commodity sector. The industrial commodities like copper was a bit stronger, nickel was a bit weaker, zinc was a bit stronger. So we've seen a breakdown in the commonality in the commodity sector. They're trading on their individual merits. The continuous commodity index, as a result, remains weak. And that's a positive. It suggests that apart from the fact that oil is still at uncomfortably high levels, that aside from that, commodity price inflation is unlikely to be a major concern for the majority of markets at present. It looks increasingly likely that we've seen a medium-term peak in government bond prices. That's where you have a high degree of commonality. Both UK gilts and German bunds were weaker today by about a third of a point. JGBs broke downwards from their range yesterday. What we've seen, what most people have been worried about is a double dip of recession in the USA, the problems with the Eurozone that have been a worry for so many people for such a long time, and that no one had any faith in the Japanese ever doing anything to improve their situation. But in the last 3 months, we've seen that the US economy has continued to surprise on the upside, and the intransigent unemployment figures are getting mildly better. The Europeans have taken the bull by the horns and have moved aggressively to recapitalize the banking sector. And the Japanese have adopted an inflation target. So we've seen a big surge in the amount of liquidity that's out there. The perceptions are that we're not going to have a depression. And if you're not going to have a depression, do you really need to own 30 years and 10-year treasuries in the region of 2%, particularly when CPI inflation is 2.75%? Negative real interest rates are really only appetizing when you are discounting the worst possible scenario. And it's looking increasingly likely that we're not going to have the worst case scenario. And if one looks at the evidence being presented by the stock market, we're quite a long way from the worst case scenario. We're getting into quite a good scenario, particularly on Wall Street. And indeed some of those Asian markets, and not least Japan. So it's looking increasingly like quite a benign environment for stock markets generally. That's likely to remain the case as long as liquidity provision remains abundant. Where there are risks is that the oil price could surge higher. That would probably need a motivating factor in the form of an exogenous shock. But prices remain very firm, and one would have to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside in the short to medium term based on what we've seen over the last few weeks. So that's one potential threat. But aside from that, we can monitor these markets. We will attempt to have the humility to look at what the market is telling us in terms of the price action rather than imposing an external view. And what we're being presented with, by and large, are really quite consistent uptrends. Where there is an overextension, there's a likelihood of a reversion. And we're starting to see an increasing number of markets breaking out of multi-year bases. And that is also a very positive development. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.